of the last two shiurim, we had a chance to see the yesodos that emerged from the Mishnah, and specifically the concept of a shomer. We're beginning to see, and we're going to start to develop it in much greater detail. It's very practical and practically important. The concept of a shomer, that two people alone, a man and woman alone, typically is Isser Yichud, and specifically, as you saw, an Isser Yichud min ha-Torah, often. The whole notion of Yichud Daraisa, as we developed last week, the Daf Kohen is Beseser, Reuven and Aliza alone, so there you have the potential for Yichud Daraisa. Once, yeah, sometimes it may be Heter Gamer, sometimes it may be Drabanan, but the entire notion of Yichud Daraisa is when you have a man and woman Beseser. Once you introduce a third person, three is a crowd, that's not Beseser, that's not the Isser Daraisa. It may or may not be an Isser Drabanan. So that's how our Mishnah had opened the sugya, that Lo Yishachid Adam Shnei Nashim, Yishachid Mishachid Shnei Anashim, that two women and a man is Isser Drabanan, two men and a woman is often going to be Heter Gamer. Why is that? So last time we had focused on the second question of the Gemara, the Minah and Emili, and the Makar for the Din Daraisa, Beseser. The Gemara begins with a Maitaima, this is Rash, this is where we had left off. Rash says, Maitaima lo yisached im shtei nashim, ki isha shim yisachedes im shnei anashim. How come introduce a second man into the situation, Heter Gamer, where you introduce a second woman to the situation, it's still an Isser Yerabanan? How come typically, we'll see exceptions in both directions, but for now, in concept, adding a second man serves as a valid shomer, but adding an additional woman, she does not serve as a valid shomeris. So the Gemara says, Tanveil, yo, ho v'nashim daiton kalas aleihem. Because women have a das kala, a lighter das. What does that mean? So that line is often taken horribly out of context to imply that women are intellectually stunted. If you look at what the Gemara actually says, much as we did yesterday in Ian, you have to actually look at what the Gemara says and what context it says it, if you actually want to figure out what the Amoraim are driving at. So this is not a broadly quoted concept. It's quoted specifically in this context. This context has nothing to do with intellectual power or capacity. The Gemara is saying that there's an increased risk. Yichud, especially Yichud Rabbanan, is all about avoiding situations where there's a sufficient risk that this situation could lead to znus, an act of Gilui Arayos. Obviously, we're not saying we're going to get this more payoff and off. We'll take questions very soon. We're not saying that we assume that Yichud will probably lead to Gilui Arayos. That's a very high threshold. No. Most situations in Yichud don't lead to Gilui Arayos, but they are still also because of the possibility. But there has to be some threshold. So let's just we'll make up numbers, but just by way of illustration. So imagine that Chazal said the threshold is 3%. If there's a 3% chance that this scenario leads to an act of Gilui Arayos, then it's already Aser. If the chance of this situation leading to Gilui Arayos is less than 3%, that's too slim a risk, and we don't impose an Isser Drabanan. So what the Amoraim are saying, and understanding the Mishnah, is that introducing a second woman into a situation will bring your risk level down to 4%. So certainly reduced, but not reduced enough. Still above the 3% threshold. Also, if you add a second man to the situation, that already reduces your risk so much, down to 2 or 1%, that's already so unlikely that the scenario leads to an act of znus, that the scenario is not an Isser Yichud. Why? That's what Chazal are saying. Why? Why is it adding a second woman doesn't reduce the risk as much of znus, as much as adding a second man? Because nashim daitam kalos alein, they have das kala. What does that mean? So Rashi says, both in the Mishnah and the Gemara, we'll start with the Gemara, u'shtehen nochos lehis patos. Both of them might be more open to being seduced. And Rashi goes on to say, if both of them participate in active znus with his fellow, the one man and two women, then Rashi in the Mishnah goes on to add, v'lotir zu mechavrata sh'afi tasa kemosa. If there's a possibility that both participate, both be willing participants, so then neither one is a security risk. We're not worried that she's going to tell all if she was participating as well. In other words, that's in theory possible for Shnei Anashim V'Isha Aches as well. Both men and the woman might participate in an act of znus. In other words, Reuven might be mezana with Sarah, and Shimon might be mezana with Sarah. That's a possibility, much as it's a possibility that Reuven would be mezana with Sarah and Reuven would be mezana with Rivka. But what Chazal pointing out is that just given the psychodynamics of how these situations usually play out, every situation is different, but looking at statistics, so most of the time, the primary driver of the dynamic is the male. And as a result, there's somewhat, obviously it's a slim chance, but the somewhat greater chance of he, the one man inducing both women to mezana with him, seems unlikely, but possible, more possible than the one woman inducing both men to mezana with her. So that's why the Amaram explained that if you have a situation where you add a second woman, so then that reduces the risk, but not enough. The chance of znus is still high enough that it's asim mijabban. You introduce a second man, shnei anashim v'ishachas, that already is mutter. And that explains why the Gemara goes on to say at the bottom of the amud, aval isha achas, you see the bottom of pei amud beis, aval isha achas, misyacheretim shnei anashim, see the two dots are on 7-8 lines off the bottom of pei amud beis, amar Yehuda amar Rav. Rav Yehuda now goes on to quote the name of Rav, two limitations on this kula. Right? We said we have three heterim of Yichud already appear in our Mishnah. The Shnei Anashim, meaning adding a male Shomer, and Ishto Imo, the female Shomer, who's my wife. She obviously, her presence obviously would be very inhibiting. And the number three was parents and children can have Yichud with one another. So in terms of this first heter of adding a Shomer, of Shnei Anashim v'Isha Achas, so the Gemara is about to, over the course of the bottom payim and bays, wrapping to the top of Pei Alpha and Aleph, introduce two limitations. And we can see that's the way these Gemaras are going to play out. In general, is you have a list of heterim, and each heter has its exceptions. So what are the exceptions to Shnei Anashim? So the Gemara says, well, for one, you have the bottom payim and bays, Shal Shalom Elvik Sheirim, Aleph the Prutzim, Afilu Be'asar, Namilo. Yehuda quotes the name of his Rebbe Rav. Rebbe Yehuda was a Talmud of both Rav and Shmuel. Here he's quoting Rav. Rav told him that the only time you say you have two men and women that's mutter is if they're kosher people. They're pretty people of good moral character. People who are careful with tznius. But if you have prutzim, 10 prutzim, a woman is alone with 10 prutzim, it's going to be a problem. The Gemara says, Maisa v'hotziyu asar b'mita. Once there was a recorded situation where there were 10 men all wanting to mezana this one woman. Seems like this is a consensual situation. And the Rashi explains there was no way to do this in the little village they were in without attracting attention from the other people in town who would have severely disapproved. So they staged a funeral. And they pretended that she had died. And they were carrying her out on a stretcher to the cemetery. And that's how they got out of town. It's all snuck out of town together to mezana. That's surprising. The reason why the Gemara quotes this is to say, I mean, they were all in cahoots together. They all together wanted to do it. They weren't embarrassed to one another because they were all willing participants. In other words, the whole logic of Shomer is only, that obviously there would be incredible inhibition to do the wrong thing in a severe way, to mezana, in the presence of someone who would not be participating. And I'm embarrassed in front of him, and he may tell others, I'll be further embarrassed. But if these are people who are all of loose character, and they may even join in the chet, so certainly their presence is not inhibiting enough to create a heter yichud. And Rav Yosef says, Rav Yosef was a holy tzaddik, but he's a holy tzaddik who was also an astute observer of people. So he says, Teda de michbiri be'asar v'ganvi kashur v'lo michsef v'mi'adadi. You should know that 10 people get together and steal an enormous piece of lumber, and they're not embarrassed to one another. What's that example driving at? And why is it teda? Well, you ought to know that, .. I mean, Rav Yosef apparently was a tzaddik from when he was younger. He was never involved in Geneva. Unlike Reish Lakish, who had, as a younger person, been a criminal, and then he became a Baal Tshuva and became one of the greatest Talmid Chacham of all time. Rav Yosef didn't have any criminal experience. He says, I can't tell you I've seen this happen, but I can deduce, Sherlock Holmes style, obviously this happens, because if an enormous piece of lumber is there one day and is gone the next morning, well, how did it disappear? Obviously it was stolen. And obviously it wasn't stolen by one person, because it's way too large for one person to possibly carry. Obviously it must have been a whole team of people who walked off with it. It's a teda. I mean, a group of 10 people, a group of a bunch of people must have worked on it together, and they obviously weren't embarrassed to one another. John's presence didn't inhibit Jim, and Jim's presence didn't inhibit Tim, and Tim's presence didn't inhibit Bob, because they were all chotim together. So Rav Yosef says, by the same logic, the presence of a parutz is not going to inhibit someone else from behaving inappropriately, from an act of znus. So that's why when you talk about a shomer, the shomer needs to be a shomer kosher. So you have a woman in a frat house, 10 guys there, but one is more parutz than the next. That is not only not a smart place to be for a wide variety of reasons, it is also, even on a technical level, it's a violation of Isser Yichah, because she is together with many men, but all those men are prutzim. Yeah, question.
I feel like there's a little difference between Yosef and Yosef. Yosef is the only way you could have stolen a piece of wood is if everyone was working together. But by the prutzim, they're all there for themselves. No one, they're not working together.
That's a good point, right? They're not a team. That's true. That is a sharp point. That is a sharp point. They need each other. They need each other. So it may be more common there. And that's why Rav Yosef also was able to demonstrate it. But we are... All right, and I'm not sure Rav Yosef is proving, and Rav already said it independently. But Rav Yosef is saying, look, you see that phenomenon in other places. But you're right, there is a chila. And then Rav Yehuda Amar Rav on the top of Pei Aleph, Amar Aleph, because in between the last couple lines of Pei Aleph Beis, the Gemara starts to bring a raya. Maybe there's a Mishnah that indicates this way. The Gemara says, no, the Mishnah isn't a Raya. But Rav stands with or without the Raya. Then Pei Aleph Amar Aleph, we have the second limitation on the din of Shomer. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. And then the Gemara is going to tell a story. And that story is going to be curious. Please take a look inside. I'll review them around. The very top of Pei Aleph of Aleph. Lo Shono El Be'ir. This whole hefter of adding a Shomer, Shnei Anashim, and now we know it's specifically Shnei Anashim Kesherim, the further limitation is that only works if you're in town. If you're on the road, it's not sufficient to have two men and a woman. You gotta have three men and a woman is most of it. Two men and a woman is also. What's the difference between whether you're in town or you're on the road? Am I not Kamina? What do you say?
Some
people
less
people around. Story.
You had to go out of the town because the people in the town were...
Okay, good. And that's the sharp point. So Pei basically said people are embarrassed of the people in town. Yeah?
One person has to focus on the traveling, maybe?
So the Gemara gives a reality which is usually not part of our reality when we're traveling, which is why you have to figure out how that applies. So we'll see on the one hand, we'll see what the Gemara's logic is. We'll see on the one hand that given that that's the logic, the whole Baderech application is not so relevant in our reality, but there's a different situation that comes up many times a week, comes up every single day. The Raya has another application of the Gemara's logic that comes up all the time. So let's take a look. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Lo Shano El Be'ir, Avol Bederech Ad Shiyu Shlosha. And on the road now you need three. Why? Shem Yitzarei Hechayim La'ashtem. You're on the road, let's say you have Reuven, Shimon, and Yocheb. The Mishnah said Reuven, Shimon, Yocheb is fine. So Rav says, yeah, in town Reuven, Shimon, Yocheb is fine. But if they're traveling, Shem Yitzarei Hechayim La'ashtem, one of them will need to relieve himself. Reuben needs to excuse himself from the group. He heads off to the side, a couple of minutes away from the road, to relieve himself with dignity, with privacy. And then, so now they had been Reuben, Shimon, and Yocheved. Now that Reuben disappeared for 10 minutes, it's just Shimon and Yocheved. Yimza Echem is Yachem Erba. So now you have a situation where now you have an Yichud problem. If you have three of them, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yocheved, even if Reuven needs to excuse himself, it still leaves Shimon, Levi, and Yocheved. Yeah.
Let's say in a house, if you only have, if there's maybe one goes to the bathroom, it's had a similar thing.
Oh, isn't it the same thing? Right, so why, so you're asking, well, why is this only, why is it only Ba'ir? Shouldn't it be the, why is it only Ba'derech? Human nature is the same. Anyway, yeah, the difference presumably is that Ba'ir, you have a bathroom that's 10 seconds away. But Ba'derech, if you're on the road, and that's why I say this is not so relevant to us. So we live at a time in human history when there are organized rest stops. But if you're hiking in the wilderness, or you're, that's how they always traveled in the wilderness, so if you need to relieve yourself, that's going to be 5-10 minutes off the road to find privacy. That's why it's going to be more of an issue. So again, so on the one hand, this feels not so relatable. On the other hand, if you take a look in Shulchan Aruch, for now, let's just look at Se'if Hey, the bottom of the page, in the Ramah. We'll come back to the Shulchan Aruch, but we're not ready for him yet. Yeish Omrim. Isha achas misyachedes l'mshnein ashem k'shein en huvo'ir. Ramah quotes the simple reading of our Gemara. Two kosher men. One woman is fine, but year. Turn the page. Staman ashem k'shein hem. A normal religious person assumed to be kosher. We'll come back to that at greater length. What are the exceptions? Aval emein prutzim afilim asara aser. But if they are prutzim, then even 10 prutzim in a woman is not permitted. And kol ze ba'ir, even if they're ksherim, that's only in town. When you're near civilization. Aval basade, if you're out in the field, you're out in the wilderness where there are no organized bathrooms, and need to use a bathroom means you're going to spend a couple minutes just getting to a private spot. But again, we said, but for us, that's not as common, unless you like hiking. Oh, balayla, or at night, afilu ba'ir, ba'ir in shlosha. That's a ravid. The ravid says, a much more common example, and for us certainly a more common example, is that the din of shnayim only works by yom, when everyone's awake. But what's the din if people are going to sleep? What's a din at night when people might fall asleep? Or people do go to sleep. A sleeping shomer. What's the status of a shomer who's asleep? You're not really paying attention. You're sleeping.
He could wake up.
Oh, but he might wake up. But it's not quite the same as he is up. So the Ravid says that balayla is the same as baderech. And I said before, this is something that happens every single day. Balayla is the same as every single night. Balayla is the same as Baderech. If it's very late enough that people might be falling asleep, or people actually are going to sleep, so Shnei Anashim K'shein V'Isha Achas is not Mutter. But the Ravid says, whether it's a chance of falling asleep, or people actually are asleep, Shlosha Anashim K'sheirim V'Isha Achas is Mutter. What does that tell me? What does that tell me? That the Rav Shechter's Nusach is a sleeping Shomer is a half a Shomer. In other words, if someone's there, if he was awake, he would be a shomer. He's an ishkashim. If he was awake, and Reuven Yocheved and Yisr Yichud. Reuven Yocheved and Shimon, if everyone's awake, so Shimon serves as a shomer. But let's say Shimon's sleeping, so he's not paying attention. But he might wake up and notice what's going on. So that's not quite the same as actually being awake. But it's more than nothing. So Reuven, Shimon, Yocheved, when Shimon's sleeping, doesn't help. But Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yocheved, that shlosh anoshim sharing balayla is mutter, meaning the fact that two independent people, either of whom could wake up and knows what's going on, so the combination of two sleeping shomrim is the equivalent of one awake shomer. So a sleeping shomer is like half a shomer. That's the practical application that the Ravid draws from this story. And the Gemara is going to go on. To tell a story that's going to blend these two together. It's going to blend together the din of Ksherim and the din of Baderech. And it's going to tell a conversation between Rav and Rav Yehuda, a practical Yichud scenario that they encountered together. We had Rav quoting Rav Yehuda. Excuse me, we had Rav Yehuda quoting Rav twice. We'll see next time. The Gemara goes on to tell a story of Rav and Rav Yehuda. And it's fascinating to see what they do say. It's fascinating to see what they don't say. The lav halacha lemaisa is going to flow from the story. We'll catch that next time, but for now we have a couple minutes to take questions. Yo, you were waiting before. Okay. Yeah.
How does the rabbi extrapolate? How do we extrapolate that? Three shomrim are, we have to, how do we assume that they're asleep? Just because it's a lila. What's the, maybe it's dark and they can't see, how are you saying asleep? Unless they're making a difference.
The Gemara didn't say Balayla. The Ravid in his Sefer Bali Anefesh, right, so he thinks that if you're...
How do we extrapolate from Balayla? It means asleep, therefore sleep is half person.
So Ezra's making an important point, which is that this heter of Shomrim in general, that comes up specifically in the scenario of sleeping Shomrim, is only mutter if were they to wake up, they would see where you are. So, for instance, practical scenario. So you went out with a girl. So if she's a nice person, would be interested in continuing, so then you drop her off the door, say thank you very much. So, depending on where you're up to, either you'll be in touch with her or you'll be in touch with Shatkin afterwards to say thank you, but no thank you. But let's say it was a great date, and you brought her home, you want to bring her home at a reasonable hour, but you still want to talk to her some more. So you're not going to be out till hours. So you bring her back home, and you want to schmooze her at home. Can you sit and schmooze her at home? Well, depends. It depends who's home, right? So if the rest of your family is out and about, so you want to have your privacy, not that everyone else is listening to the conversation, but you want to be out of earshot, but within eyeshot. You want people to be able to see you. That's usually what you're looking for in terms of healthy dating and avoiding yichud. You're visible, but not audible. So hopefully everyone who's home is going to have the good sense to give you your space. But you're visible. If other family members, if they're a family member, someone from the family, who's an ish kasher, is around, so he's a shomer. But let's say you come in and her parents are sleeping, or they're going to sleep. So if they wake up, they should pop downstairs and say a peek in and say hello. So then you may have a situation where you have two sleeping shomrim, that's the equivalent of one shomrim. Because if they wake up, they're going to come down and poke their heads in and say hello. But even if they're up sleeping upstairs, you're downstairs, and even if they wake up, they're not going to come down, so then that's not helpful. It's only the sleeping shomrim are helpful if, were they to wake up, they'll make sure to come down and say hi. Very good. So Ezra asks about who are my two men, so we have to learn some more. We're going to see that a married woman will offer. There are situations, just like we said, that even though the Mishnah says a second man is a shomer, we said, not always. If he's not kosher, not. And if he's asleep or badarach, only halfway. We're also going to see in the other direction that sometimes women do serve as shomeros. The Mishnah already said ishto imo, she serves as a shomeros. We're going to see other scenarios as well, where a woman can serve as a shomeres, more to come next time in the show.